No freaking way.
And I find myself, and I've heard other people say things like, nasty little hobbitses. I have a problem, it's going to sound silly, with the internet. Baby, check this out. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts, the international edition, live from Canada and Two Beer Sampler Productions. It's Countless Screaming Argonauts with Max and the Fabulous Penguin. I'm Max.
I'm the Penguin. And since when do we change our publishing company to Two Beers?
Because that's what I drank for dinner.
Oh, okay. Well, isn't that interesting? And it's an international edition because you're in Canada, but I'm still in the good old U.S. of A.
That's right. So here we are in Canada, in New York, in Massachusetts, rather.
Right.
And we're doing the podcast on Thursday. I almost said September. November 20th?
November 20th. Boy, those two beers must have gone right to your head. I hope they were good ones.
Oh, they were great. Lowenbrau.
Oh.
I was telling the woman tending bar that I hadn't had Lowenbrau in 30 years.
On tap?
No. Now, the prices here are ridiculous and then more expensive than that. And
right.
Bottled beer is $2 cheaper than tap beer. So
that doesn't make any sense. But then again, it's Canada.
It has to do with the volume. You get a 12-ounce bottle beer and you get a pint.
Oh, okay.
On tap.
Well,
but
I like my beer in pints, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, I do too. And if I had any hope of, I'll end up paying for it myself probably anyway. But I probably should have just had the beer on tap.
Oh well.
But things are expensive here. I'm at the Yorkdale in Toronto, and it's a wonderful, wonderful hotel. Everything is really great. People are really nice. I love Canada. I love the Canadians.
Uh-huh.
But things at the Yorkdale are a bit steep. I got a burger. I got two beers. Want to know what the charge was?
I do. I'm afraid, but I do.
$33.
Holy crap. $33. Holy mackerel.
But it did come with sweet potato fries, so... And it was a fabulous burger.
And you won't have to pay for most of that, right?
Right. I'm probably going to end up paying for one or two of the beers.
Right.
Yeah, it's brutal up here. Also, the exchange rate favors us again. So it'll be something less than that. But I don't know what it is. But,
right.
I mean, I know I sat down and had a burger and fries. So hopefully the company will be forgiving.
Sure. Sounds like it should be. Listen, let's hop right into this thing.
Let's hop.
Premiere.com is a movie site, and I was perusing the site, and they had one of those 100 greatest lists regarding movies, and it was the 100 greatest movie characters of all times.
Yeah.
Now, we can't do 100 movie characters. We don't have the time. So I'm going to limit this to just the top 10. Because I had some real problems with this.
Yeah, I did look at it, and I'm not looking at it now because I'm trying to...
Well, I'll read them off to you just so you have them. All right, Vito Corleone of The Godfather, number one. No problem with that.
I have to make my public confession that I still have not seen The Godfather.
I know. You've mentioned that a number of times, and yep. you should be struck for that.
All right. I guess I'm going to have to sit down and rent it.
You really should. All right.
Yes.
Fred C. Dobbs of The Treasure of Sierra Madre. I don't have problems with that. It's not one of my favorite movies, but it was a classic. Scarlett O'Hara.
Is that Don Houston's father? Is that the character that he played? Or is that Bogart?
That was Bogart's character. All right. Scarlett O'Hara, Gone with the Wind. Again, no problem with that one. Norman Bates, Psycho, no problem with that. James Bond of Dr. No, no problem with that. Annie Hall of Annie Hall, no problem with that. Indiana Jones of Raiders of the Lost Ark, no problem with that.
Yeah.
Then we get into some problems. 8, 9, and 10 are Ellen Ripley of Alien, Jeff Spicoli of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and Gollum of Lord of the Rings. And they beat out, this is 12, 13, 14, and 15. Charles Kane of Citizen Kane, Atticus Finch of To Kill a Mockingbird, Randall McMurphy of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Hannibal Lecter of Silence of the Lambs. No freaking way.
Right.
First of all, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, at the least, overrated movie.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie, but it's overrated in this context. It's no To Kill a Mockingbird, it's no One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it's no Silence of the Lambs. It just isn't.
This list is the greatest characters?
Greatest characters of all times. So,
how do you make that determination?
Well,
Spicoli's a great character.
But he's no Atticus Finch.
Well,
and he's no Randall McMurphy, and he's no Hannibal Lecter. He just isn't.
Are we talking about their contribution to society, their moral value?
No, we're talking about them as a character in a movie. We're not talking about – I mean, if you did that, how could you have Norman Bates at number four? We're talking about the characters in the movies that they played.
Yeah. You don't think Spicoli is a classic?
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that he's not a classic. He's just no Citizen Kane, Atticus Finch, Randall McMurphy, or Hannibal Lecter. That's all.
All right.
And Gollum, I think, Gollum, you know, for Lord of the Rings, if you're going to choose a CGI character, you have to choose E.T. You have to. So.
E.T.'s a great character. Gollum's a great character, and it's a combination. There was a human being that they followed the motions of when they did the drawings, right?
Right.
So,
well, Gollum, that was, you know, the problem with that is that he wasn't all CGI. It was because they didn't have the technology then when that movie came out. So some of it is a little midget and I use the term affectionately. just a midget in a costume. You know, so.
Send your letters to CSA yes, Podcast. Hawksmouth.com.
All you midgets out there, or you little people.
Hopefully. You know, I used that word for years, thinking that it meant a person who's height challenged, like severely. I never knew it was a bad word.
I never said it either. And I can't listen. I can't hear that word without thinking of the Little Rascals and Fidgets.
Yeah.
Because that's what they used to call them all the time, the little Fidgets. So
There was a kid in our neighborhood that was a midget, or what we called a midget, and that's how we described him. He's a midget.
Right.
We didn't say it in any other way other than to communicate that he had this genetic height disadvantage.
Right.
But and I still am confused. Is dwarf is not correct either?
We'd have to research this, Max.
Yeah,
I don't know what's correct. I think they prefer to be called little people, or at least that's what the Discovery Channel calls them on that show.
Yeah, I find that condescending, but I don't have any problem trying to not offend anyone. I thought midget meant what is described by what we usually call midget. But
right.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, just to bring this back, the other problem I had was that there were, in the top 25, there were a couple of other characters that I thought should have done better.
Majorly good characters. Huh?
Right. Dorothy Gale from The Wizard of Oz.
A classic.
17th. Travis Bickle of Taxi Driver. 22nd.
Again, another one I haven't seen, but I know enough.
Right.
Of conversations about the movie to understand that that's
Captain
a classic.
Quint of Jaws, 28.
Yeah.
So I had trouble with those three being as low as they were.
Yeah, I think Well, these lists can be pretty lame anyway.
Well, yeah, of course. But, you know, if people are interested in them, it's premiere.com. It's a movie magazine, online movie magazine. And they do everything from, you know, Research Girl is beside herself because one of the things they have is they published a script from Dark Knight.
Yeah.
A PDF copy of it. So she's beside herself with that. And they, you know, they do that, you know, the new Star Trek has its posters up there, and they've got the little thing that they're going to show in the movies in the next few weeks, previews and stuff like that. So it's an interesting website.
All right, let's go back and do the top 10 list, and let's divide them into a couple of things. Let's say let's divide them into major or minor characters, and let's divide them into cultural icons or not cultural icons.
Okay. Well, Vito Corleone certainly is a cultural icon, major character.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Fred Dobbs of Treasure Sierra Madre, not a cultural icon.
Not a cultural icon,
but a major character for that movie, for sure.
Right.
Scarlett O'Hara, cultural icon. Norman Bates, cultural icon. James Bond, cultural icon. Annie Hall.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones, cultural icons.
Absolutely.
All right, so out of the top seven.
And all major characters, lead characters.
Out of the top seven, you got six who were and one who wasn't.
Okay.
Then you go Ellen Ripley of Alien. Great movie. She's fantastic in it.
She's a major character.
Right, but not number eight.
But not a cultural
greatest
icon.
Of all times, no. Absolutely.
But I think it's a fair point. But is she the first? Probably not. Major female kick-ass figure.
Scarlett O'Hara kicked a lot of ass.
No, she didn't. She was a manipulator.
Annie Hall kicked some ass.
No, but it was a comedy. Annie Hall was a major character and an archetype. But all right, it's a point well taken. People don't run around quoting Ripley.
Right.
But she, I think, has some social importance. But it's a point well taken.
All right. And the next three, Jeff Spicoli, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, not a cultural icon.
Oh, I think
good character.
A cultural icon.
Good character, good movie, not a cultural icon.
Oh, I think he's a cultural icon, but I don't think he's a major character.
Yeah. Gollum of Lord of the Rings, cultural icon, I think, probably tipped that into that area.
Well, here's my test for cultural iconhood. Do you find people quoting them or spoofing on quotes? And I find myself, and I've heard other people say things like, nasty little hobbitses, you know.
That must be the circle that you run with, because I don't hear anybody say nasty little hobbitses. I never have. Never,
have you,
ever.
Have you never heard anyone talk in a Gollum-esque sound frame?
I've heard from Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs, I've heard them repeat the My Precious line, and he wasn't, you know, he was a major character, but that wasn't the one that they chose. But I've never heard anybody do an imitation of Gollum.
Really? Well, they do, but they also do Hannibal Lecter, and
yes.
they're both major characters.
Fava beans.
Say that
I'm
again.
Having a friend. Fava beans. I'm having a friend for lunch. I mean, you know, these are lines that you can't mistake where they came from.
It sounded like you said fava beans.
Fava beans. He said
no
I ate his. He's in the movie. He said, and I ate his liver with a side of fava beans and a good Chianti.
Okay. Well,
I mean, see, part of the problem is you haven't seen that movie.
I've never heard that quote.
Oh, that's a big quote. Everybody quotes that.
Okay. Well, so, I can't said anything. I've failed to see the movie.
All right. Well, that's okay. Citizen Kane. I mean, Charles Kane and Citizen Kane. Atticus Finch.
Wait a minute. Back up. Citizen Kane, right. Obviously the major character of the movie.
Right.
And voted by movie critics the best movie.
Right. Best movie ever. A lot of people. Some people.
But Charles Foster Kane is not a cultural icon.
I'm not sure, you know.
How much of that... One word from that movie fell into vernacular.
Right.
So sure. I say no on him. He's we don't.
All right, that's debatable for the cultural icon part.
Okay.
Atticus Finch?
You know what?
I don't think it's a cultural icon.
Atticus Finch is not a cultural icon.
But it was. But I think that that should be in the top three movies of all times, too.
I agree. And we're going to have to do our lists of top movies of all time.
Right.
And it's going to be brutal.
Oh, it is.
Brutal. All right. And I'll have at least one surprise for you.
Randall McMurphy, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That movie made Jack Nicholson. That is a cultural icon movie of all times.
Name me one quote from the movie.
I haven't seen it in 20 years, but I remember going to see it and just being mouth agape for the whole picture. Everything that he does, everything
certainly
that he touched,
character.
Everything that he did, everything he touched, everyone he spoke to, he changed in that movie.
There's no question he was a major character, and it was an important movie. I want to say that he was a cultural icon, but I'm thinking this is a 10 to 20 character and not a 1 to 10 character.
Yeah, well, I would disagree about that, but that's
okay.
And then Hannibal Lecter, Silence of the Lambs.
Well, yeah.
You have to read the book. You have to see the movie. There's no choice about that.
I don't want to, but I understand, and I'll concede the point.
Why don't you want to?
Not interested in watching a movie about a guy eating people.
Well, he doesn't. They don't show him eating people, except for one. But it's a fascinating study in the psychology of a serial killer. You don't know the movie, so you don't know.
My nephew tell me point by point,
right,
for an hour. The details of the movie.
Right. The movie isn't really. I mean, the movie's about Hannibal Lecter, but it's not about Hannibal Lecter. It's about the other guy, and Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, I made a decision to not see it.
Wow. To me, that's like making a decision never to have another beer again. Couldn't do it.
Well, see, to me, one of them is negative and disturbing, and one of them. What else you got?
Well, the only other thing I said was I thought that E.T. should have been higher, and I thought Travis Bickle, Taxi Driver, should have been higher, and I thought that Captain Quint of Jaws should have been higher.
All right.
Because I thought that, well, first of all, to speak about E.T., a cultural icon, you can't top.
It certainly is a cultural icon.
Travis Bickle, the same thing. If I've heard once, I've heard a million times, you talking to me.
You talking to me?
Right.
I never saw that movie, and I know that line.
Right. And then the other one, Captain Quint and Jaws. Jaws was just kind of slowly moving along as a possible horror picture. And then he comes on the screen, and he completely changes the movie.
All right.
Just by his presence.
Now, I have to tell you that I'm a huge Jaws fan.
Uh-huh.
And I love the story, and the true story, as it turns out, that Robert Shaw told about the USS Indianapolis. Utterly mesmerizing.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But he's not a major character.
I would disagree. I really, really would.
All right.
He is.
Maybe I should have made the definition a little different.
He's Captain Ahab of Moby Dick.
Let me try it. Look, try to define what I'm getting at a different way. He's not a lead character.
Well, no, he's not. He's probably the third major character.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Right.
Great, great cultural icon. No question about it. And I can't tell you exactly any lines that he said.
Well, no, I can't either. But, you know, the most famous line is the one that
Roy Scheider says.
Right. We're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger boat. Absolutely. That is a cultural icon line.
That is. That is. But he's not a strong enough character in the movie to be the cultural icon.
You're right. When you talk about that movie, there's no question. Robert Shaw took it over.
Right. Right.
And I like Scheider. And I like Dreyfuss, and I love the movie, and I can even go along with the shark for its time.
Uh-huh,
as
sure.
As a bit of technology now, it's pretty lame, but
right.
Great, great movie. Great, great character. Great character. One of my favorite characters in any movie of all times. I definitely put him in my top 10, but he's not a lead character. So
well, at some point, at some time in the near future, we should do a top 10 movies of all times.
We definitely have to.
All right, let's change gears here because we could talk about this for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're not going to. I'm going to say a name. Do you know who Bob Barr is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you want to tell everybody who Bob Barr is?
Bob Barr is the former Republican congressman and current, well, most recently a Libertarian candidate for president of the United States. And according to your notes, received 0.4% of the national votes for president,
right,
along with
Wayne Allen Root. Do you know who Wayne Allen Root is?
I do. I used to watch his sickening commercials for sports betting all the time because I watch sports and his commercials are on those channels.
Right. Well, I want to propose that any one of those 510,132 people who voted for Wayne Allen Root to be vice president should have their voting rights taken away from them because he makes Sarah Palin look like Abraham Lincoln in terms of being prepared for the office.
Well,
I did not know who Bob Barr's running mate was
I read that. No.
Right, until after the election, and I saw this note, and I got sick to my stomach. This guy could get 500,000 votes. Could get 500,000 votes it's a crime. It's a crime against our democracy.
When I was writing kids' plays back a while ago, I created a character who was not too lovable, kind of a negative guy, not evil like Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
And I named him Smarmy. And when I think of Wayne Allen Root, I think of Smarmy.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but he's not stupid. He's made himself a lot of money. He's a professional gambler, and he's a professional pitch man.
Right.
So in that case, he's got it over Sarah Palin. But in terms of, believe it or not, a moral center, I think I'd have to go with Sarah Palin.
Yeah. And so if you're out there, any one of those 510,000 people, if you identify yourself as having voted for Wayne Allen Root, I am going to propose that you lose your right to vote card for at least 4 years. Yeah.
On my list of people who shouldn't be allowed to vote, right after the people who believe championship wrestling is real.
Right there. Absolutely.
I have a problem. It's going to sound silly, with the internet.
Really?
And one of my problems with the internet is...
You know it's a series of tubes. Did you know that?
I've heard that, where you can just dump a whole load of information.
Right out of the back of the truck.
What was I saying?
You were saying that you hate the internet.
I do hate the internet because, and I'll get a lot of hell for this, it's filled with libertarians who congratulate themselves.
And religious right fanatics, and it's filled with all those people. It's horrible. We should just get them off. We should not allow them to be on there.
Well, I don't know if I want to get them off, but I don't want to see them on the internet anymore either.
Right. Screw the equal rights. Screw that stuff. Just get them off. They're not allowed.
Ban libertarians.
Yeah.
The libertarians love the internet. And Bob Barr is a libertarian candidate. I just have some problems with what I think is – I just think that libertarians should remain a cult somewhere on the order of what the Mormons used to be 100 years ago.
Right. I don't have any trouble with that. Speaking of the internet – go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they're popular and Bob Barr –
All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You're just really breaking up right now, and I don't know why. So just go back and start all over because I didn't hear a thing that you said.
Oh, okay. I said Bob Barr is a thinking human being. I disagree with his politics, but I will not say that he's stupid. I think he's kind of an asshole. But
right. Well, I guess we have to say that there is a difference between being stupid and being an asshole, and. You know, Wayne Allen Root may be smart, but he's an asshole.
Right, right. So it's not an attractive candidate. Ticket is what I'm looking for.
Right.
And yeah, I have a problem like you with 500 and whatever thousand people voting for these people.
Right. Absolutely.
But I don't know what you can do about it.
Take away their cards.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
All right. Speaking of the internet, just a quick note. I was quite saddened to see that Barack Obama is not going to be able to keep using his BlackBerry now that he's the president-elect because of security issues. Damn that internet, but not being secure. you know, because, I mean, for how long was he touted as this internet candidate? And then he gets to be the president, and they're going to go back to what, tablets and and pencils and stuff?
Chisels, yeah.
Chisels? I mean, come on. We have the entire intelligence of the nation behind us. They can't come up with something that's a little bit secure that he can continue to use?
Yeah, this one really shocked me, and I guess it's just because I hadn't ever thought about it. But first of all, there was something in those notes about the Presidential Securities Communications Act, something like that.
Right, yeah.
All presidential communications
are... The Presidential Records Act.
Yeah, okay.
All of this correspondence is in the official record and ultimately up for public review.
So, if having said that, why can't he use email?
I don't know. Because they want him to use the tablet and the chisel, I guess.
he got here.
Here, tie this note on the pigeon's leg, and we'll send it up to Congress.
dear President Obama, send me a note. Tell me whether I should vote for this law or not, and attach it to this pigeon.
Right.
Yeah, it's a super fast way to communicate. He did it. They talked about his BlackBerry being a buzz all the time. I mean, there's times to turn the BlackBerry off. But why shouldn't the president have email?
I don't know. I think well, they said he's advised not to use email because of security risks and fear that the messages could be intercepted. But again, we have the entire intelligence of the United States nation behind us. Can't they encrypt it? Can't they do something?
I agree. I agree completely. You're telling me that the best and the brightest, CIA, NSA, Dave Burns, whatever, that somebody can't figure out a way to make the president's private emails private?
Right. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Me neither.
Well, hey, listen. All right.
It's slowing him down.
It is, and it's terrible.
But he can be on YouTube, of course. But you can just create a file and drop it on the internet. So I guess that makes sense.
So he can be on YouTube, but he can't do.
But he can't do email. And obviously, you don't want people to know the president's email address. And you know, maybe you should change it every week or every month. And
right.
And limit it to the 100,000 most important friends of his. Obviously, you can't have everybody in the country sending him an email. There should be something there.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the word "you suck."
Right.
Remember that? We had discussion.
Yes, and I have an update for you. Yes.
Right. And I said that it was – I thought that had gone the way of lots of other words and that it was okay.
Right.
Well, the Tampa Sports Authority disagrees with me because they actually kicked a Bucks fan out of the stadium because she yelled, "Ref, you suck," and somebody complained.
Wow.
And so they kicked her out.
You know what we need? We need a take a pill award.
Chill? Take a chill pill?
That's right. Whoever told that lady, whoever got that lady thrown out, needs to take a pill.
Right. She said that she didn't understand why it was considered offensive. She says it's not one of the seven words you can't say on TV, and she thinks she should be able to express herself. While suck may be a word you can say on TV, it's apparently not a word that you can say in the stadium.
And if you can't say suck in a sports stadium,
I mean, come on.
country's got its collective panties in too tight of a bunch.
I agree.
Do you know the Supreme Court right now is talking about the propriety of using those seven words on television?
I did not know that.
Yes, Judge Scalia. I hope that was recorded as saying something along the lines of, "Well, if you tell a dirty joke and it's really funny, it's okay."
Right. I just hope George Carlin gets credit for getting them to the point where they're thinking about it.
And may I say, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits?
You have.
All right. Okay.
We don't have much of a choice.
Yeah. You know, that's been encroached upon a lot. I hear the word bitch a lot on television now.
Absolutely.
And we all know Joe Scarborough said fuck the other day.
Right. I saw that. That was pretty funny.
Not to mention on Comedy Central, they play these first-run movies. Well, not first-run movies, but these vulgar movies containing vulgarities on late night, uncut.
Right. Absolutely. So.
And I don't have a problem with it, you know, on after 11. I think that's fine.
No, I don't either.
But South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, for instance, is about as vulgar as you can get.
Right.
just this side of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Just on this side.
Jay and Silent Bob may be the most vulgar movie that wasn't rated R that I've ever seen. In fact, it may be the single most vulgar movie I've ever seen. And it's hysterical.
Right. I just saw another one of Kevin Smith's movies. Is that his name, Kevin Smith?
Kevin Smith. Did you see Mitzi and Ralph there? Whatever.
No, I saw Dogma.
Oh, did you? What did you think of Dogma?
Millie Jupiter recommended it.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm glad I didn't pay $9.50 to go see it in the movies.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with it?
Oh, yeah. I've seen all of his movies except for the very latest.
Okay. It was, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought I don't have trouble with, you know, taking on religious icons like they did and you know, beating them to a pulp. So I didn't mind that at all. But I thought it was close to over the top sometimes.
Well, Kevin Smith, I have to say this, is my personal hero. I absolutely admire him because he's just a schmuck who had the idea of making a movie and made it. I think the best of his movies, up to the one I haven't seen, is Chasing Amy, and I highly recommend seeing Chasing Amy. But I thought Dogma got off its own track somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it went from being really good to being confused. And so I was disappointed.
I would agree with that a little bit. I did not think that it was a great movie by any stretch of the imagination.
I thought it had
I thought it was – there were some intelligent things in there, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah. He got lost figuring out an ending, I think.
Uh-huh. Could be.
But Clerks was his first movie, and it was a very small movie, and it has a huge cult following.
That was a funny movie. Booth Boy recommended that. We saw it together.
I've seen Clerks 2. Clerks 2 is better up until the end, which is reprehensible.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, but when I saw Clerks 2, I remember thinking, he's not really going to – oh, my God, he really
did. He just did. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't recommend Clerks 2 because it's the most vulgar, disgusting movie I've ever seen that wasn't porn.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But Chasing Amy is a golden movie, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And I've heard somebody tell me that they saw the new one, which I want to say is like Bob and Mitzi make a porno. I can't remember the
character. Yeah, I think that it's something like that. Yes.
And it got approval, but it wasn't screamingly good praise.
Right. Okay.
But I really want to see it.
Well, I'm sure you'll get a chance to. Right after you see Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I'll be seeing Mitzi first, I think.
Okay, so a little Brian's Rules of Social Dynamics now.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, this one is from – when I say the word Northern Territories, what do you think of?
Canada.
Canada somewhere. So this is apropos to you.
Okay,
a car race in the Northern Territory had to be stopped when a streaker ran onto the track and splashed around nude in the mud puddle. 19 years old, jumped a fence, ran across naked, swan dived into thigh-deep pool of muddy water. They said he was extremely lucky because he was less than 20 meters away from getting hit by a car.
But what did you say, monster truck?
No, it's a car race.
Oh. This is classic Brian's first rule of social dynamics.
Right, but it gets better.
This is just fucking stupid.
Right, it gets better. Okay, so they said that he was really lucky because the drivers couldn't see where he was, and if they hadn't managed to stop the race, that cars would have run him over in the mud puddle.
And I'm here to tell you, being run over by a car, not a good thing.
Right, I know. And then what is possibly the mantra of Brian's rules of social dynamics?
I know where you're going with that.
The last line. Alcohol was believed to be a contributing factor.
Yeah. You think? Let's get drunk, take off our clothes, and jump in the mud in the middle of a car race. You've got to be a fucking idiot.
If we didn't come up with the great name of Brian Rules of Social Dynamics, we could call this segment Alcohol was believed to be a contributing factor.
Yeah, that's true. Yet another name for dumb nuts are dumb.
Right?
That's classic, you know. What? What possesses
you? You can't explain it. You can't. You cannot explain it possibly.
I have a somewhat warped view of the world, some people say. But, I mean, I can even see streaking.
But it doesn't include getting naked and running in a mud puddle in the middle of a car race, does it?
No. That's beyond any sense of logic whatsoever.
Absolutely.
You've got to be an idiot.
Pretty much.
Which is another way of saying Brian's first rules of social dynamics.
Right. You're
stupid. That's another name we could have for this segment. You've got to be an idiot.
You've got to be an idiot. Well, listen, Max, our time is up.
Yeah, we're past.
I could tell that we had a good show because it went so quickly.
It sure did. That was fun.
I looked up, I sneezed, and the show was over.
Well, thank you, Penguin, T-Fab Pete, for setting us up, because I didn't get a lot of work in on the prep of this.
Well, it's because you were the international traveler this week.
I was indeed, and it's been a tough trip, but it was a fun podcast. I hope it comes out. It was a little sketchy with sound, but I think we had a good one. I hope it comes out.
I'm sure that it will. Listen, write to us at csapodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website, csapodcast@blogspot.com.
Want to say that again?
Nope. I don't think I could. Check out our Cafe Press swag. You know, buy something, make us famous.
Yep.
I think I hit it all.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Have a good night.
And kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot. I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and